During my priest retreat last week, a group of us priests got together and watched the movie Nefarious. If you haven't seen it, it's kind of like a demonic thriller kind of movie. Regardless, after watching it, we wanted to have a discussion. So we got together and started to discuss things like demonic possession and how does God work and how do demons work, to the point where one other guy who was staying in the hotel came up to him and said, "Hey, you're discussing religion, can I join you?" We're like, "Sure, why not?" We ended up talking with this guy from 10:30 p.m. till 1:30 a.m. It was an incredible conversation. In the midst of this conversation, he asked me a question which puzzled me. He asked me the question, "So if you would not have grown up in the faith, would you still believe? If you had not experienced God, what would your life be like?" And so I thought about it for a while, and I answered him and said, "Your question makes no sense to me. It doesn't make sense because you assume that I have just grown up in a society or grown up in a religion. Instead, I have encountered God. I had an experience so profound that I couldn't dismiss it. I tried hard. I wanted to think that God just did whatever he wanted to and it wasn't really true, and that I could ignore it and move on with my life. But then I realized it wasn't me, that there was someone else there, and he came and found me. And for that reason, your question makes no sense. It assumes that God doesn't exist." He was so puzzled by it that he didn't know what to do. And then it dawned on me. This man had never met a person of faith. His entire life, all he knows about religion is what he's seen in the media or what he's heard from other people. He's never encountered anything like this, and he didn't know what to do. This is our challenge as well. The same question is posed to all of us. What would your lives be like if you had not grown up in the faith? What would your life be like if you never encountered God? For some of you, it might be kind of easy, but it's quite a challenge. Would we be the same as we are now? Has God really impacted our lives enough that it would never be the same? I argue that a lot of us are challenged with this question because we haven't really encountered him. And the challenge in that is that we haven't really cared in some level. And that's the joy of today's gospel. Today's gospel dives us deep into the relationship of God and guides us to come out of it into something different, a realization of how we come to know God even more fully. So let's dive in. So I'm going to do this in two parts. The first part is we're going to look at this story from the perspective of the landowner, the man who owns the vineyard. Now let's try and get a sense of who he is. So he owns this vast vineyard, and now is the time for harvest. Any of you who work on a farm or have produce of any kind know you can't wait. If he waits, even up to a day, it could be the difference between a bountiful harvest and a ruined harvest. It could be the difference between having lots of money and going bankrupt. It can be a severe change if he doesn't have that vineyard harvested today. So he needs laborers, he needs them now, and he needs them to go harvest his vineyard. So, like anyone with a vineyard or land, he goes out to the marketplace. Now, in Israelite society, the men would gather every day in the marketplace, and people would come and choose who they want to hire. And they'd hire them for the daily wage, they'd go work their day, come back, and have money for that night to buy food. So with all these men in the marketplace, he comes out at dawn and hires a bunch of them. And he agrees with them for the usual daily wage, and they go and work. But then the story gets weird, because he comes out again at 9 and noon and hires more. He's getting less work out of them, but he's giving them more money. I think this would be weird to us. Right now he's at a loss. Either the vineyard is incredibly large to the point where he needs it harvested now, or this guy is incredibly generous in a way that's surprising to us. He does the same thing at 3 o'clock, but then he does the same thing at 5 o'clock. Who of us would hire someone for 1 hour and give them a full day's worth of pay? I think none of us would. That's silly. You're wasting money, which is the whole point of this parable. He comes out at 5, hires them for 1 hour, and we have to try and figure out what's going on. First of all, we have to realize the vineyard's vast. It's so large that he can continue to hire people endlessly and never have the work fulfilled. The vineyard's never fully harvested. The same way, he must have a lot of money if he can be so generous that every person now has enough money to be able to survive to the next day. It's not so much about getting labor out of them as making them do something. And then he does what's just, make sure they survive to the next day. Now, I'm sure you all realize this, but the landowner is supposed to be our analogy for God. And in many ways, it's a beautiful analogy, a challenging one. God knows us all so well that he knows there's always a place in his vineyard. His kingdom, his world is so vast that everyone has a place and it can never be filled. There's always some more work to be done. There's always more use for laborers. He can never be exhausted. So that means he can continually hire people endlessly. He always has a place for us. And his wage, what he gives us in return, is always going to be the same. As long as we do something, we do some work, we always get salvation. That's how it works. His wage is the same. They all got the same. Salvation. Now imagine if we flip this parable around for a moment. Imagine if some of these workers stopped at midday or stopped at 3 thinking, I've worked enough. It's good enough. What would have happened? Would they have reached the daily wage? No. They would have been kicked out of the vineyard. They got nothing then. There was an essential part of this parable that the workers had to finish the day. Didn't matter when they start. Didn't matter what they think they could do. They had to do something and finish the day, and they got the wage. Because God is immensely generous. We can never outdo him in generosity. And that's the challenge we're faced with today. Let's flip the parable around. Let's look from the perspective of the workers. Here they are. They want to survive. They need money for food and to keep their families and everything. So they show up in the marketplace hoping to get a job. The first ones, not a big surprise. They get hired. They go into the vineyard. What about the next few? Are they assuming that someone's going to hire them? They've been sitting there for now hours doing nothing, hoping that they can get hired. This is the challenge for us. They are waiting for that call. They're waiting for that voice saying, I have something for you. How many of us wait like that? How many of us are willing to wait for God's invitation? That simple voice calling us to something, calling us into something. Now here's the part we forget about these laborers. This is important to them. Their livelihood depends on it. They need this to survive. Do we feel that way about God and serving him? Do we feel like by serving him it's necessary for our survival? Well, I tell you, it is. If we don't do something for God, he means nothing to us. If we're not willing to serve him in some way, his life and our life is inconsequential. We can just disappear. It doesn't matter. So in this way, it's essential that as many workers as possible get hired for the landowner's sake. The last piece is they're hired at 5 p.m. I'm sure those were wondering, oh no, what's tomorrow going to be like? Am I going to survive? Is this going to work out? And then they get hired for a full day's wage for 1 hour. Now let's do the exact opposite of the parable. Imagine that you were that first group who went out in the vineyard and worked an entire day and got a day's wage and saw everyone else made more money than you. How would you feel? Probably ticked off, right? They're grumbling. They're upset. And we understand why they're upset. They were made equal to the people who worked hard. How often do we feel that way? Do we feel like, I've worked hard all my life. Why are these people getting by? Or, I feel like I've done enough. I deserve to rest now. Or, why are they getting by when I don't? Hear that voice? Hear that voice that challenges us? That it's not about service anymore. It's about my due, what I'm owed. And that's always a danger for us. When it comes to God, we aren't owed anything. We're not due anything. The very fact of working, of serving him, should be our joy. Because the joy isn't the here and now. It's because we've encountered God who loves us and whom we love, and we find a character of who we are, the dignity of who we are, by serving and working for God. Let's take the next group, the ones that came at 9, noon, and 3. What would you assume with them? They're probably like, wow, that was nice of him. I worked half a day and got a full day's pay. I kind of like this. But it didn't change them much. They figured he was generous, but they also agreed to it. It was part of the contract they wrote. I'll give you what's just. So to them, they felt his generosity, and they were nice about it, and they agreed to it, and they're happy, and they went home. But the last group is the one that's most valuable for us. They worked 1 hour and felt they did not deserve that pay. This is who we want to be. We want to be the people who feel like we were undeserving of the gift. It was an incredible generosity of God to give us what he gave us. This is who we want to be, that we recognize the many things God has given us that we didn't deserve, that we're given as a free gift, and to return a prayer of thanksgiving. to recognize the incredible generosity of God, because God's generosity cannot be undone. We can never do enough service to which will surpass what God has done for us. It's not possible. But we can live a life of thanksgiving, where we're in joy and peace because we know who God is. We know how kind He is to us. So here's our challenge. Our challenge is, first of all, to recognize that serving God is part of who we are. It's our dignity. We come to know God more by giving of ourselves and giving of our time and talents and treasures to Him, because we know it means something. Statistics show, and this is kind of chilling, that in the Catholic Church, about the average amount people give is 1% of their income. Think about that for a moment. I argue the same amount with time. Think of your week. How do you use your time? How much is dedicated to God? Probably close to 1%. Yet when we go out to eat, how much do we tip a waitstaff? 15 to 20%. Who is more valuable? I mean this to make a point, that it's time for us to evaluate our lives and say, where am I serving God? Where can I give Him more time? If everyone here were to give 10% more of their time to God, I could do anything in this church. If you were to give 10% more of your income, which is 1.1% compared to 1%, we'd be set. I could fix everything in this building. We'd have programs to run in the cities. We have so much we could do. It's just that little bit of an increase can make that much of a change. This is what it's like to serve God. We give Him a little, He gives us more. We give Him more in response, He gives us more. He can't be outdone. Our challenge, however, is to look at our lives and say, what does God mean to me? How does my finances, my time, my energy, my skills relate to the service of God? How much am I willing to give Him so that I may encounter Him and know of His value in my life? Well, let's put it this way. God has a place for you, a place where you'll find joy, a place where you'll find peace, a place where you'll come to know yourself. When you find it, you'll come to know God even more. So don't be afraid. Give yourself. It only helps you find yourself. Let yourself wander into the mysteries we celebrate, that you may come to know God, and know that God will always be generous, and our response is always one of thanksgiving.